I will inherit the world, and I'll die in America.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Tuesday night medical broadcast brought to you by your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis. Now, for those of you new that are just tuning in to us, be sure to check out our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Before you hit that join button, just know that we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout everything we do here in the Defenders 7. We have a website. All lowercase letters, www.defenders7.com. On our website, be sure to hit that subscribe button. We have a store and a donate button. 100% of all sales from our store and any donations we bring in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. So please, by all means, purchase something or hit that donate button. Every bit helps. That's the only way we're able to do what we do here. So help us to help you and your communities. We have a YouTube channel. Also, click on subscribe. We're on MeWe, click on Communities, scroll down to Defenders 7 Humanitarian American Patriot Group. That's right, we're not a militia, we are a humanitarian American Patriot Group. Spread the word, get us out there. Now for tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk Radio, we enjoy it when you call and interact with us. And that number to call is area code 914-205-5773. Now if you don't like talking on the radio show, which is just basically one big conference call, but if you have fears of that, we also have a Blog Talk chat room that is also live during our broadcasts. So either way, check in with us, hit us up, ask any questions, and by all means, enjoy all the shows we bring to you. Now, with that being said, allow me to bring in your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis, and our major pain in the ass, Lorna Munson.
I'm not present.
I'm not present either.
I'm just pre-recorded. Oh.
Oh. Something that I wanted to share with everybody, if they're, you know, you want to listen, you do, you don't, I don't care. So in 2 weeks, okay, 14 days, which that stupid World Economic Forum is meeting. you know, with the ones who want Agenda 21 and the Great Reset and all that good bullshit, they're going to meet and they're going to remove the sovereignty of 198 different nations, which means you no longer have a constitution. You no longer have jack and shit. Because COVID was their official end to get the Great Reset started and Agenda 21. So, and then there's going to be a compliance board set up. Now, here's the thing. If Agenda 21 is so good, why would you need a compliance board? So the shit's about to hit the fan in 2 weeks. Now, will it take effect immediately? I don't know. So they're saying that I know in Tennessee and Texas, these are the only two states that I know of for a fact, there are shortages of baby formula. People are having to drive an hour or more just to get baby formula. They've, and I know this is just a conspiracy theory. What was it? I believe 13 food warehouses have miraculously caught on fire and destroyed within the last 2 weeks. So, guys, it's coming down to the wire. We've been saying this. You know, I mean, it might be too late. I don't know. So start, if you can, wherever you're at, you're going to end up growing your own food. And we all going to become vegetarians because the price of everything, it just continues to go up. So, but there's that little spiel out of the way. There was something else.
Well, aren't you a Debbie Downer?
I know I'm a Debbie Downer, okay? Oh. So I did get, okay, this is a little bit of insider information from my previous job, and oh my God, they are so screwed again. So the job I just left, I am not going to say this company is this. I am not going to do that. They had two deaths over the weekend. And it crushed me with one of them because I was supposed to go see her this weekend, and she passed on Mother's Day. Totally unexpected. I honestly didn't think she was going to go that fast. But, anywho, the owner was on call. She did not go to the desk, neither one, because a nurse has to do a pronouncement of a death and then call the funeral home and stuff like that. She talked the family through the whole procedure. So I'm like, oh, my God. And they went through their every other week they have to do a meeting with the medical director, and he's getting fed up. He said it's just bad. They have no idea what they're doing. So for those of you who have your own businesses, I don't care what kind it is, if you have a good team that works together and they get the job done, don't be a dick and fire your lead supervisor because you want to be a cheap ass. Because the fallout can be deadly, like the death of your whole company. So that's enough on that. Would you call it Debbie Downer?
Yep.
Maybe I should add a Deb. Maybe I should add a Debbie to one of my personalities. So now I'll be back up to 9. Okay, now I've got 9. Debbie Downer. We'll just call her. If there's bad news, I'm going to find it. That's all there is to it. So, but I do have good news. For the moment, I guess you'd say it's really good news. My brother, he was out yesterday raking the leaves. He's lost like 60 or 80 pounds. He is really, really, really thin. But he is like stabilized. The tumor's not growing, but it's not shrinking. he drinks. And he actually sent me a Happy Mother's Day text and stuff, which I think he's come to accept his condition, and he's going to live the what time he has left and not be a dick. So there is that little bit of good news, you know. And so anyway, I believe we finished – well, we didn't finish cancer up last week, but we finished with the most common types. Trust me, there's a shit ton of different types of cancers. But, you know, I mean, you just can't possibly cover every kind there is. Because there are rare cancers out there. So, like I've said repeatedly, you know, like a broken record, pay attention to your body. If there's something not right, keep a record of when it started, what makes it worse, what alleviates pain. I don't care what it is. And keep track of it for like a week or two, not 6 months. You know, there are things out there that's very, you know, that could be caught early enough if it's a serious condition, you know, and you could get treatment. And don't always have the, I'll think about it next week attitude, because you may not have next week. So with that being said, I wanted to go ahead and go into lung diseases. And I'm going to go over the most common type. And simply because we're getting to get this, there's a new COVID strain.
Of course. That's the Fauci must be back again.
Oh, I know. And here's what the doctors are saying. Get over it. It's the freaking cold. We're tired of it. They're saying get rid of Fauci. He's a waste of space. Get rid of the WHO, the CDC. I'm sorry. It's a cold. It's weaponized. So therefore, yes, it can be more than just a cold. So with all of that, look, guys, you know, common sense. Wash your hands. You know, personal hygiene, okay? If somebody's sick, guess what? Keep your happy ass at home. Even if it's just a cold, don't go out. Now, if you don't have anybody to go to the store, guess what? You could order your shit online, Kroger's, Walmart, any grocery store, anybody. They have, I believe DoorDash actually goes to pharmacies and picks up, hold on a second. My dog is a dumbass. She's eating a plastic bottle and she's choking over here. Hold on. Sorry for the interruption while I beat my dog with a water bottle. Freaking retard, I swear. Oh, children. You can't beat them, you can't beat them. They're just like a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. Okay.
Yep.
But you know what? In all honesty, I know this is not like having to do the show. my dogs are actually behaving more. I'm able to leave them 7 in the morning. I hate doing it, or 7:30 until about 5 o'clock at night. And they do pretty decent. They attack you, of course, when you walk in the front door, but if you leave them, you know, plenty of toys, and they pulled their toy box out today and dumped them all over the floor. So anywho, so back to the whatever. What was I saying? Shit. Brain fart. Sorry, guys.
Jacob,
what? Do what?
Calm down and take a breath.
No, I know. What was I saying, though, before I got up? So Ruby interrupted by my dog.
Yeah. I think you were just starting to talk about the cancer.
No.
The lung.
About the lung diseases. Yeah, but there was something I was saying. Oh, so it's all common sense. So if you're sick, stay at home. There are drugstores like DoorDash. Can have the drivers from DoorDash go to your drugstore and pick up cough medicine, prescriptions. I know all about prescriptions, but I know they can get other stuff. So anyway, stay home if you're sick. I mean, it's common sense, guys. They do make sanitizer spray. that you could spray your curtains. I do it in my work car because of going in and out of patients' houses, and I actually do use it.
Oh, shit.
I actually do use it. I spray my clothes. It's like a squirt on my shirt, squirt on my pants. It's just because they're hospice patients. So I don't want to take germs from one house to the next house. So if you don't have if you can't find Lysol and things like that to spray, then you can use the spray hand sanitizer. They actually do make it. I think the Dollar General, is that the red store? Dollar Tree is green. Nice. Family Dollar is, shit. It's the red one. There's red, yellow, and green. It's the red one. Anywho, that might be Family Dollar. I don't know. Anywho, they do sell sanitizer spray. It's like $2. And you can just spray your furniture, your curtains, or whatever. And that'll help with germs and all that cool stuff. But, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. You're never going to get rid of COVID because guess what? It's been around since the 30s. So you're never going to get rid of it. Now they got a whole new thing of other issues that's coming out. And so we just got to be careful. So anyway, the first lung disease is pneumonia. It's really common. More than 3 million people a year in the U.S. get pneumonia. Usually it's the elderly and the immunocompromised that get pneumonia. You'll occasionally get healthy people that get – I've had pneumonia, walking pneumonia, I think 3 times in my entire life. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure children could get pneumonia, but – usually it's the elderly or the older population. So it's transmitted through respiratory droplets. They do have a pneumonia vaccine. And the way to diagnose is x-rays, chest x-rays. And it is treatable. And unfortunately, the thing about pneumonia, walking pneumonia, I don't know why they call it walking pneumonia, because you could still walk with pneumonia. I think it's probably just a lower grade of pneumonia. Not sure. It can last several weeks to several months. And I believe the last time I had pneumonia, I think I was sick maybe 4 weeks. We're going to go over these other ones, for like bronchitis. I can have bronchitis for 3 months straight. So it all depends on you. And that's why they say if you get sick, especially the sicker, the pneumonias and things like that, you need to rest. That's the biggest thing. Rest, vitamin C, and you know, whatever in your antibiotics if you need to go on them, because you don't always have to. But sometimes you have to go on them. Fluids, your vitamin C, and rest, and is the main important things. But so it'll be a cough with mucus or phlegm. Sometimes you can cough it up, sometimes you can't. And usually the colors of phlegm, don't mean to be graphic here, is a clear white, and then when it starts, those are normal. Clear and white is normal for a cough. Then you get into your yellow. And then it'll transition to green. And then from green, it'll go into reddish brown, which means you're coughing up blood. And that could be because it's irritation and you're coughing so hard. And that's common with any cold or coughing. Usually you have a high-grade fever and chills. Depending on your doctor, some doctors will say 102, 103. Some it's 101.5. It all depends. And it also depends on your body because, like myself, my temp runs from 96 to 97.5 as normal. So when I start getting a temp of 99, mine's actually higher than someone whose normal temp is 98.6, 98.8. So, and that's the thing, you have to know your body. Know your body. And that's the important thing. You also have fast breathing, shortness of breath, chest pain while coughing, not your normal heart chest pain, but chest wall pain. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever coughed so hard it feels like you just you cracked a rib. You actually can crack a rib from coughing too hard. You can actually separate your ribs, the cartilage. I've done that from having double pneumonia. And what sucks is I was actually in AIC in the Army, and I had to wear my weighted, our Kevlar, and it sucks. But anyway, you can get a rapid heartbeat. You can feel very tired or weak, and it's just because your body's fighting the infection, and which is why rest is important. Occasionally, you'll have nausea and vomiting. Now, a lot of times with the nausea and vomiting, if you have postnasal drip, you don't cough the phlegm up, and it ends up going down instead of out, it could make you sick to your stomach. So a lot of times that's why you have the nausea and vomiting. Sometimes you can end up with diarrhea because it is an infection, and sometimes you end up with it. Loss of appetite. Some people have no appetite whatsoever. When they can't smell, they can't taste, which is why COVID, why a lot of people lost a lot of weight with COVID. You can't smell, you can't taste, you don't want to eat. And a lot of body pain. Now, this last one, severely affected patients, and they're talking like a lot of the elderly, if you have immunocompromised symptom condition, you will be coughing up blood. And also show signs of cyanosis, which means your fingertips or your nail beds, your lips. That can happen because you have no oxygen. You don't have enough oxygen in there. So if you have to go the route of antibiotics to treat a bacterial pneumonia, they usually do the levofloxacin, azithromycin. If it's a viral infection, they'll use antivirals like, yeah, sure. Zanamivir is one, and I cannot pronounce the other one to save my life. Never heard of it. But they can use that. If it's a fungal pneumonia, they will use things like fluconazole however you want to pronounce it. Usually Tylenol or ibuprofen is what they give for the fever and things like that. Now, ibuprofen, Motrin, and Advil is the same product. So I get a lot of people that want to argue on that. It's the same product. Tylenol is acetaminophen. So you can use for cough suppressants, they have dextromethorphan or like DM. Robitussin DM, and things like that. There is a codeine cough medicine. It is prescription, I believe, in all states. It does work. There is one. It's promethazine with codeine, and all it is the nausea medicine with the codeine, and a lot of COPD patients get it when they get sick. It does work. So, basically, it's get a lot of rest, drink plenty of fluids, and don't overstrain the body. Sometimes you have to, and another thing that you could benefit is your coolness humidifiers. I've had to use them. If you have nebulizer treatments, that's a benefit. Some people have to do that. Also, sometimes they may give you steroids, which I hate. I believe they have changed the way they give steroids. You guys remember back, and I'm talking probably last year, your steroids will tell you to take two with breakfast, two at lunch, two in the afternoon, and two at dinner. And then the next day you cut back. Now they have you take four of them. Well, I guess depending on your age, you're diagnosed with all that. Like my youngest, they had to give her prednisone, and they had her take four pills at once in the morning, and then for 3 days take three, and then for 3 days take two, and then for 4 days take one. So they changed the way they do it now with your steroids. So don't be surprised if you look get your if you have to have them, and you look all retarded. No, they've changed the way they do it. And I guess because a lot of people get really jittery and jumpy at night, and that's why they want you to take them in the morning and do it that way. Unless there's another reason, I don't know. So an infection is caused by bacteria or virus, a fungi or a mycoplasma can rarely be the cause. Fungal pneumonia is not infectious. One more time. Fungal pneumonia is not infectious. It's not cooties. You can't pass it from one person to the other. Bacterial and viral pneumonia are spread through inhalation of airborne droplets by coughing or sneezing, which is why if you have to go in public and you're sick, wear a mask. Go ahead. If you have to go into Walmart or any store, take a little nice little sanitizing wipes, wipe the cart down. Just things like that. Cough in your, you know, how they tell you that the cough in your shirt, cough in your elbow, wherever. Cover your mouth when you cough. It's common sense. So some of the risk factors is age. Like I said, most of the vulnerable are the children below two and adults above 65. Hospitalized in ICU and if on life support for ventilator or for a prolonged period. So a lot of people, you can actually get hospital-acquired pneumonia, not just from like something else. If you're in the hospital, because if you're not moving, that's when you can get a buildup of fluid in your lungs. So that's why things can go from a head cold, upper respiratory, to bronchitis, into pneumonia if it's left untreated or if your body can't fight that. That's the problem. Let's see. So there's – no, I did not say that. Hold on a second. Let me see if I get it back out. I hate this. I hate having a touchscreen laptop. Because if you touch your screen, it could send you off into la-la land here. Hold on. I hate it. It drives me nuts. I mean, it's pretty good for the most part, but, you know. Okay. So let me see. So there's also atypical pneumonia. Oh, so atypical pneumonia is walking pneumonia. So you learn something new every day. Is any type of pneumonia not caused by one of the pathogens most commonly associated with the disease? Its clinical presentation contrasts to that of a typical pneumonia. Now, I'm going to have to go and look at this because they just lost me with that whole definition. So we're going to go ahead and walk in pneumonia. So more than 200,000 people a year get it. Okay, so this is what it is. If you or someone you know is exhibiting symptoms of atypical pneumonia, seek medical attention immediately. So from what the way they make this sound is this is actually more severe than regular. So it's a persistent cough, flu-like symptoms like fever, chill, or cold sweat, sore, dry, itchy throat, persistent headache, weakness, or fatigue, the chest pain when breathing deeply, aches and pains in the muscles and joints, nausea and abdominal pain, loss of appetite, diarrhea, and facial palsy, like Bell's palsy. An infection caused by a bacteria that spreads through the person's from person-to-person contact. The majority of atypical pneumonia is caused by three different types of bacteria. Okay, that's what it is. Mycoplasma pneumoniae usually affects people under 40 with mild symptoms, commonly causes earache, headaches, and sore throat. Cladophilia pneumoniae, that's usually among school-aged children and young adults. Legionella pneumophilia is also called Legionnaires. Oh, see, I didn't know that. I learned something new today. This does not spread from person to person contact, but through mist from air conditioning systems in buildings and infected water sources. Oh, you see? Generally, it's more severe and seen most often in older adults, people who smoke. Infants and school-aged children and older adults weaken the immune systems, smoking, and certain long-term medications can cause it. So basically, same thing. Cover your nose and mouth when you cough and sneeze. Wash your hands and use hand sanitizer. And hand sanitizer is not a substitution for washing your hands. It's if you don't have access to a sink or running water or whatever, use hand sanitizer and then wash your hands, you know, later. So, complications. Pleural effusion, which is a fluid buildup around the lungs. Pericarditis, which is inflammation of the membrane that surrounds your heart. And you can have neurologic complications like cranial nerve palsies, meningitis, and Guillain-Barre syndrome. So, not cool. I guess that's why that one is worse. So, my bad on that one. Let's see. Under the pneumonia category is, everybody knows what SARS is? Yay, nay? It's been a while since SARS has been around. Let's see. There's been fewer than 1,000 cases in the U.S. SARS was over there. It's severe acute respiratory syndrome. That's China. SARS, MERS, whatever you want to call it, and all that. You know, the bird flu, Hong Kong flu, all that cool shit over in Asia. But anywho, it can be dangerous or life-threatening. It's treatable. You have to do x-rays. Pretty much all of these you have to do x-rays. So the symptoms of SARS is similar to the flu. Your fever, chills and shaking, dry cough, shortness of breath, muscle aches, diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, runny nose, and sore throat. Like I said, 90% of all illnesses is nausea, vomiting, constipation, diarrhea, unfortunately. So it's caused by airborne exposure to the coronavirus, which has been around since forever in the 30s, 32, 31, somewhere around there. The lungs and GI tract are the only organs that support replication of SARS coronavirus. It spreads through air droplets and when an infected person sneezes or coughs, which is why you cover your nose and your mouth when you cough. So basically, through contact with contaminated surfaces like doorknobs, any hard surface, it could sit on your heart, on a hard surface for a little while. That's why you should always spray everything or wipe stuff down. I like to make a good habit of doing this at least once a month, unless somebody's sick. I like making a bleach spray, and I'll make it 1 to 10 on the like one part bleach, 10 parts water. And I got it in a spray bottle. And once a month, what I will do is I'll go in my kitchen, because the kitchen and the bathroom are the two biggest, you know, everyone's hands are touching everything. And I'll spray the kitchen cabinets, the refrigerator doors, and the whole sink and the countertops with the spray. And then I'll go in the bathroom, clean the whole bathroom. And then, like, in the house, doorknobs, door frames, I'll just wipe it real quick. Boom, you're done. And I usually do that in general every once a month. Now, if somebody's sick, yeah, you'll do it while they're sick, you know, to kind of keep up the stuff on the down low, you know. So being in close contact with an affected individual like family and coworkers, you'll also notice that in households where there's a bunch of people. Sorry, guys, if you got 6 or 8 kids, I'm just kidding. But you'll notice in a lot of, migrant workers, where they go from state to state and they follow the crops. And a lot of your Hispanic families will have like 3 and 4 families in one house. And it's just cheaper on rent. And you'll notice that a lot of them is where for close contact will end up with most of your illnesses, like lungs and the flu, stomach flu and things like that. Older patients with chronic Hep B have a poor prognosis. So it sucks if you have Hep B. Basically, wash your hands frequently, disinfect surfaces, wear gloves if you happen to take care of somebody who's sick. I don't care if it's your mom, your dad, your grandma, your uncle, auntie, whatever, wear gloves. If you're having to help them go to the bathroom and you have to help clean them, wear gloves. I don't care if it is family. It's just smart. And wash the personal belongings of the person with SARS. So basically, you want to wash their stuff separate. You don't want to wash it. And I guess that's where they're going with this. So I would use hot water, you know, because not everything you wash with hot water. I don't know about you guys, but not all my clothes I wash with cold. So it's not going to kill crap. So if left untreated, it can lead to regular pneumonia, respiratory failure, heart failure, and liver failure. So SARS is pretty serious, but we've never really had a big issue with it.
Not yet. Give Fauci time.
Yeah, give Fauci a chance and we'll all be dead from it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here it is. Pneumocystis pneumonia or pneumocystis. Yeah, I love how people, I don't know why they put a P with pneumonia when you don't even pronounce it. The P is silent. It's just funny. Okay, anyway, so the symptoms can be mild. Same thing, fever, dry cough and wheezing, shortness of breath, fatigue, and chest pain. Pretty much from coughing so hard. Pneumocystis pneumonia is caused by yeast-like fungus. Oh my God, I've never even heard of this. It's JIROVECII. That's the type of fungus that it's caused by. It's most commonly presents as an opportunistic infection. Oh, in HIV patients. So with HIV, people with HIV will have things like this. And cytomegalovirus, just they have all those weird names of infections and viruses and things like that. So I think that's where you're going to see all those. PCP is diagnosed using a sample from the lungs, from the patient's lungs. And it's usually the mucus that's either coughed up, that's usually, or sputum. That's how they biopsy that, and they'll do that. If you have PCP, not PCP, the illegal street drug. It's pneumocystis. Figure I'd say that. Your provider will likely treat you in a hospital, kind of like TB, where, you know, you have to go into a hospital for a certain amount of time. I've treated a lot of TB patients, and that's the other thing. I don't know why they're making a shit fit about COVID when over 1 million people a year in the United States get TB. I'm just saying. Anywho, and that's highly contagious, even worse than COVID. But you have to have IV antibiotics, usually of 2, TMP and SMX, which is sulfamethoxazole. Ah, sorry, I get tongue-tied with some of this friggin' Latin shit. I asked him today, I said, why do we have to dumb down what we say if it's talking to certain people? And I said, you know what? Then they need to start taking medical terminology classes, because I'm getting tired of this. But, yeah, we have to dumb everything down, and I hate to say it. Hemophilia influenza, I'm sorry if I butchered that, or is it Haemophilus influenza? Let me get to, well, shit. I might not be going over it. Oh, Bobby, did you do the little spiel at the beginning of the show?
Advertisement break.
Yeah.
Shut up. Well,
those of you who
are
just tuning in to us, or those of you that have been following us since the show started, we thank you. Be sure to check out our Facebook page, our national Facebook page, by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Be sure to check out and subscribe to our website, all lowercase letters, www.defenders7.com. On our website, you'll find that we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all sales from store and any donations we bring in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. So by all means, purchase something or hit that donate button. That's the only way we're able to help out with the things we do here at the Defender 7 is by donations and sales from our store. Also, try to spread the word around about us. Be sure to share all of our blog talk radio shows. It helps us out. We also have a YouTube channel. Head over there and hit that subscribe button for us. We're on MeWe. Click on Communities, scroll down, Defender 7, Humanitarian American Patriot Group. That's right. We are not a militia. We're here to help people to survive also. For tonight's show and all the shows that we do here on Blog Talk Radio, we enjoy it when you interact with us. And that number to call is area code 914-205-5773. If you don't want to talk on the radio, we also have a live chat room right here on Blog Talk during our broadcasts. So there's two ways to get a hold of us. I hope you utilize it. Now, back to our regularly scheduled program.
It's funny. Oh, you know what? Also, if you guys know of anyone who's got a birthday and you want to give a shout-out to them, so I'm not going to sing happy birthday, but
We all have birthdays.
I know that, but I meant on a particular day. On a particular day, if you want to say, hey, happy birthday, congratulations
unless
on another year older. Or
unless you were hatched
Lorna.
Like Lorna.
or anniversary, or any special day that you want to, you know, whatever. I want to get back into doing that again, because people can send a shout-out to whoever. So anyway, the next one is the Haemophilus influenza disease. And if you notice, that's when you take your kids to get the vaccines, the Hib vaccines. And so usually they get them all their vaccines and up until they're two.
I heard my name. What are you guys picking on me about?
Oh, I don't know. I plead the fifth. I forgot. I forgot. But hips can cause severe infections in both the lining of the brain and spinal cord, which is meningitis, and the bloodstream. Vaccines can prevent hip disease, and that's why they recommend they get all their hip vaccines before they're two, which they're on a schedule and things like that. So let's go with, let's see if this cooperates. So basically, bacteria. And so, like I said, it can cause actually pneumonia, a bloodstream infection, meningitis, epiglottitis, which is a swelling of the throat, cellulitis, which is a really bad, painful infection of the skin. And that's where your skin turns really red and it swells. And sometimes when the cellulitis is really bad, it just makes your whatever part of the body is affected look really nasty. And infectious arthritis, which is an infection of the your joint. Well, I didn't want to do that. Okay. But, so, no, I don't want to get feedback to the CDC. So, how it spread? There's six distinct types. Where do you went to that? Sorry. It goes back and forth, and don't mind me. So it's spread by respiratory droplets. People who are infected spread the droplets by, guess what? Coughing and sneezing so rudely out in the open where there's other people. Now, if you live alone and you're at home, by all means, do whatever you want to do. But just spray your house down every now and then. And don't be rude. Don't be outside if you're sick, unless it's in your yard. So people who are not sick but have the bacteria in their nose and throat, guess what? You could still pass it. You're asymptomatic, but you still got the cooties in your body. So, and that is how H influenza is spread most of the time. And by the way, H influenza is not influenza A or B. Not the same. So you could also spread it to anyone that you're in close and lengthy contact with. So if grandma has it and you're having to help bathe her, feed her, change her, and all of that good stuff, you're at risk of getting it because you're like right there all up in her bubble. And that's why you should wear a mask or grandma. But I doubt grandma because unfortunately you can't breathe them damn things on anyway. So people who are at risk of getting this, let's see, usually people, kids younger than 5 and people older, over 65. American Indians, Alaskan Natives, and people with certain medical conditions are at an increased risk. I don't know why it's American Indians and Alaskan Natives are predominant, but they are. So people with sickle cell, asplenia, which means no spleen, HIV, antibody and complement deficiency syndrome, those are rare conditions that affect the body's ability to fight infections. And cancer. Anyone, actually, let me rephrase that with cancer. If you're getting chemotherapy, radiation, or bone marrow stem cell, are at a higher risk. Because once you're done with all of that, your immune system starts to pick up a little bit at a time. So, and that's why you'll see a lot of cancer patients getting chemo and radiation. They will wear a mask, not to protect you from them, but to protect them from you. That's the way it works with all that cool stuff. All right. Moving right along. So the signs and symptoms of, same thing. Basically, it's the same, all the pneumonia, fever, chills, cough, shortness of breath, sweating, chest pain, headache, muscle. They're pretty much all the same. Now, if it's in the bloodstream, fever and chills, tiredness, pain in your abdomen, nausea with or without vomiting, diarrhea, anxiety, shortness of breath or difficulty breathing, and altered mental status, which is confusion. Now, don't forget, you'll notice if you have someone in your family who's over 65, and they're perfectly cognizant, they're perfectly, you know, with it. They know who they are, where they are, when it is, and all that cool stuff. And then all of a sudden they're confused as shit the next day. There's a possibility they might have a UTI or something like a bloodstream infection, because it does affect their mental status. And once they're on antibiotics, you'll notice they'll start getting better and improving. That's why. So that's one of the things you look for in the elderly, if things change rapidly for no reason. Sorry, I had to clean my glasses. I can't see. Meningitis. There's different types of meningitis. There's bacterial, viral. That was typically all of a sudden. Fever, headache, stiff neck, nausea, photophobia, which your eyes are really sensitive to light. But don't forget, people who suffer from migraines like me, even your indoor lights hurt your eyes. Out in the sun, bright sunlight affects your eyes. And so that's why you'll see people, and that's why I tell you to sit in a dark room and your eyes will start feeling better. And that's why. Or wear dark sunglasses outside. But the stiff neck is one of the biggest signs they look for. With meningitis, also confusion. Now, with babies, mostly I guarantee they'll be irritable. They vomit, they feed poorly, and appear to be slow or inactive, and have abnormal reflexes. So, to the next. All right. Last but not least, diagnosis. So usually there's, because it's meningitis. If they have to do a spinal tap or a lumbar puncture, that's why. They have to check for meningitis. Breathing support, which is probably oxygen or breathing treatment. Medications to treat low blood pressure. Wound care for parts of the body with damaged skin, which I didn't know you would have that. And complications, you can have brain damage or hearing loss and or death. And I believe, Pat, how many kids that when you went to Tabor, my son went to Tabor, they had an outbreak of meningitis, didn't they? One person? Oh, I thought it was a bunch of people. Okay, so like three or four, there was an outbreak of meningitis, but only one died from it. So, and I believe she died right away. Yeah, so that's why it's really important to pay attention, because with the meningitis, they can die if it's not treated. Said what? Oh, so she got an infection from it. Okay, So it's the bacterial meningitis that's the scary one. Okay. Now, on to, we're almost done with all the pneumonia types. Let's see. Pulmonary consolidation. I think I've heard of this one time, so bear with me as we go through it. If not, too bad. Of course, we may not if I don't find the right. Well, crap, we're not going to go over it. Because I don't like going over, I guess we'll go with this one. I like using one, like the NIH or Mayo Clinic. They have a really good website for all of their illnesses. I don't like going to just random friggin' websites. If you do .gov, .org, those are usually your best ones, and I'm not going to be doing it because it won't open. So we're going to skip it. Okay, here we go. I'm going to give you just a definition because there's no information on it, really. Here we go. Hold on. Here it is. I finally found it. Sorry for the brain fart, guys. So what is lung consolidation? Mm-hmm. Lung consolidation occurs when the air that usually fills the small airways in your lungs is replaced with something else. Guess what? Nothing else belongs there but air. So you can have fluid like pus, blood, or water, or all three. Now, if you aspirate, there's actually aspiration pneumonia as well. And you'll notice people, have you ever drank something too fast and the liquid will go into your lung? And that's when you cough and cough and cough till you get it all up? That's what aspiration is.
Swallowed food wrong, breathing in while swallowing, that ain't fun.
No, and that's why you can also have stomach contents because you have, like, if you have GERD and they'll tell you to sit up, don't lay down and go to sleep, like, it all depends. I see at least an hour after you eat because the reflux will push it up and you can aspirate. So when you take medication, they tell you not to throw your head back because it opens up that flap. And you can choke on a pill. Well, also, if you have a handful of pills, and back in the day I was on a lot of medication, and I said, screw this, and I'm going off them. Right now I'm only on four a day, and that's it. But anyway, I swallowed a handful of pills, and the one pill, it's not coated. And guess where that damn thing went? In my friggin' lungs.
Oh my God.
I could actually feel it. And because if you take a deep breath, it's going to go farther in. So you have to take a slow breath and pull the air in slow and then force it out. And I'm going to tell you something. And I spent 30 minutes coughing. At that point, you can also vomit from coughing so hard. You can end up coughing up blood from coughing so hard. And you could scratch your throat and end up bleeding from your – and it's just because of coughing. I coughed so hard for 30 minutes. I swear to God, I thought I was going to have to do the Heimlich maneuver on myself with the counter. I finally coughed it up, and it flew out of my mouth and hit the window. That's how hard I coughed. So that's what they're talking about as a solid, medications and things like that. It's very painful. So the appearance of your lungs on a chest x-ray and your symptoms are similar to all these substances. So typically you're going to need more tests to find out why your lungs are consolidated. And that's why they need – oh, so they got a nice x-ray here, Lorna. It's on Healthline, so I know you like pictures. It's black and white. It's an x-ray. And it looks pretty cool. Looks pretty gnarly, you can see in this picture. So basically, you know when you get an x-ray to be white outline because that's your bones and your sternum, it'll show, and your lungs are supposed to be black. That because it's not black like tar or black like, you know, whatever. It's the opposite. So when you have pneumonia, you're going to see that it's white, and that's what this x-ray of the lung looks like, and it's like, wow. So basically, the symptoms, you're going to be coughing up thick, green, or bloody sputum. Sorry to be graphic. Sorry, guys. It is a medical show. Hope you're not eating. Coughing up blood, a dry cough. Sorry, I know it's TMI, but hey, if you're going to learn, you're going to learn.
I don't get
breathing
notes.
That you don't get breathing that sounds funny or it's noisy. So I take it they're not talking about wheezing. That's a there's different sounds your lungs will make when you're sick. And I'm sure you guys know what wheezing sounds like if you're having an asthma attack. That's not what they're talking about. It's the other funky noises that your lungs will make. Chest pain or heaviness, not heart pain, but chest pain from coughing so hard. Fever and fatigue. So what are the causes of chest consolidation? Pneumonia, pulmonary edema, which is congestive heart failure, and that's the most common cause of pulmonary edema. And that just means your pump can't pump, your heart can't pump hard enough to move the blood forward, and it backs up into the blood vessels into your lungs. Isn't that horrible? And people who almost drown can get pulmonary edema. You can actually get pulmonary edema in high altitudes where it's cold and freezing. You're in mountain climbers to Mount Fuji and all those. That's why they have to bring shit. I can't think of the drug it is. It's a shot because of pulmonary edema. So when it's frigid, like Alaska, Antarctica, you know where it's like that temperatures, that's why. Because you can get pulmonary edema and not have any water around. Pulmonary hemorrhage, and that's usually with tuberculosis and stuff like that. And then aspiration, like we said, and lung cancer. So the difference between pulmonary effusion and the consolidation is the consolidation is in your lungs. Pulmonary effusion is fluid surrounding your lungs and that little thin layer of a membrane, and that's where fluid builds up. So you have to have blood tests, sputum culture, CAT scan, bronchoscopy, and things like that. That's how I'll diagnose it. Okay. So that is what pulmonary consolidation is. Sorry that it took me so long to find it, but, you know, unexpected shit. All right, moving right along. Community-acquired pneumonia, or CAP, or CAP, not to be confused with this generation's comment of that CAP. I have no idea what it means, and it's retarded. So, are we already with it? Oh. I think, yeah, the community-acquired pneumonia, same thing as pneumonia. But the complications, if you don't treat it, is bacteremia, which is an infection that gets into your bloodstream, lung abscesses, impaired breathing, which is trouble from getting enough oxygen, and they may have to be on a vent. And that's really bad. We don't want that. Acute respiratory distress syndrome. It's a severe form of a respiratory infection. It's called ARDS, A-R-D-S. And that's what they were talking about with people with COVID. Because they didn't get treated or because their body couldn't fight it, they ended up with ARDS. Those are the people that were dying. Not just because they had COVID, because they went into ARDS. That's why. Or you can get pulmonary effusion. So that's pretty much it on community-acquired pneumonia. Pretty much the same thing. We already went over aspiration. So that is all for pneumonia. Okay. Pneumothorax. And basically, it's a collapsed lung where air enters into the pleural cavity, the space around the lungs, and this causes pain in the chest and difficulty breathing. And so literally, your lung does collapse. Your lung is just like a balloon. It's got a really cool picture. And urgent medical attention is recommended or you'll die. Pretty much it for pneumothorax, but we're going to go over everything. So basically a steady ache in the chest, shortness of breath, And when I say shortness of breath, you can't even catch your breath if you have a pneumothorax. You'd be like, and you can't get words out. And you gasp, and you're fighting for air. So that's what a pneumothorax is. Tightness in the chest. Your lip, you will turn blue, not just your mouth or your nail bed. Severe tachycardic, which means your heart rate, I can probably guarantee it's probably going to be like 120 or higher. Your heart's trying to pump. It's trying to work because it's trying to overcompensate because your lung crapped the bed. So basically it's usually caused by injury to the chest or prolonged lung conditions. A chest injury caused due to a blunt or penetrating injury to the chest, car accident, physical assault. Hold on a sec. Hold on. The dogs are going to kill each other again. Hold on a sec.
Dog fight. Are you there, Bobby, or are you napping?
I'll be back. They're fighting over a bone, and Pat got bit, so hold on a second. Talk amongst yourself for a few minutes. I'll be back.
I was just trying to offer Bobby free beer, but he don't want free beer.
I'm trying to hide from you.
Yeah. Ralph, it. Hasn't ate anything all day. He won't eat.
Huh. Upset tummy, maybe.
That could be. I don't know. And I forgot to give him his drugs this morning, too.
That could be his soul.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. My mom got the dogs these the hooves. I guess they're either cow hooves or pig hooves or whatever. And there's five of them laying all over the floor. And so I guess one of them, his dog went to go get it, and mine went, and they started getting into it. And I think he got his fingernail caught. She bit your finger? Oh, okay. So, sorry about that. Damn, retards. No, you know, they haven't fought like that in a while. Usually it's over human food or bones, not these rawhide. Well, it's not a rawhide, but you know what I'm talking about. And they usually don't. And they're all over the house on the floor. And usually they don't fight over that shit. Huge marrow bones, we have to actually separate them. Because they will kill each other over those things. And, we try not to get them too often. Like, he'll put his dog in his room, and I'll go put mine in my room or whatever and let him eat it. Or whatever's left, he put it up. But, damn, I hate when they do that shit. They get that little, you know, hair up their ass. Okay, sorry about that, guys. So some of the symptoms for a pneumothorax, we were going – turning blue, severe heart rate, a fast heart rate. And so, like I said, it's usually caused by a car accident, like usually when you hit the steering wheel, even a penetrating chest wound, you can be impaled, you can get shot, things like that when they say penetrating injury to the chest. They're saying even medical procedures can lead to lung collapse. I don't know which one. Probably like a bronchoscopy where they stick that scope down there, things like that. If they're doing a pleurocentesis or things like that where they have to drain fluid, then yeah. Huh? Okay. Usually that's what can cause a pneumothorax. Also, COPD, emphysema, things like that can cause a pneumothorax. They even have what's called a spontaneous pneumothorax. And I believe usually men suffer from a spontaneous pneumothorax. I'm not saying women can't, but a higher cases of men have them. I've actually treated a few guys with a spontaneous pneumothorax. Sometimes, actually, I believe always, you have to have a chest tube. All right, hold on. I'm just looking for Band-Aids. Sorry, guys. I'm kind of trying to improvise at the same time while I'm talking. And chronic lung infection. Anything that's chronic, or if you can't get rid of it, an infection, that's what will cause a pneumothorax. Okay, hold on a second. Sorry. I know this is quite the eventful show tonight. I'm having to do first aid while I'm doing the show. Fabric one, so there. I don't have a tiny Band-Aid. I got a giant Band-Aid, and it's probably one that you could put probably half the palm of your hand. That's all I have, okay? Anyway, it'll be good. Like I said, lung disease like COPD, emphysema, cystic lung diseases, pneumonia like staphylococcal pneumonia can cause your lung to collapse. Also, mechanical ventilation, like if you're in a vent, and if it can create an imbalance of air pressure within the chest, and the lung can collapse completely. Say that, which is why, if you notice that from the beginning of COVID and all the people that were put on vents that died, because like it's saying, there's an imbalance in air pressure. They're peep and flow and all that cool jazz. And I don't know all of the ins and outs of vents, but if your lungs can't expand, they'll pop, and that's the problem. So that's why a lot of times people on vents can actually end up with a pneumothorax. Ruptured air blisters or small air blisters can develop on top of your lung, and they call them bleebs, and sometimes they'll burst and allows air to leak into the space that surrounds you. So basically, you shouldn't have air around your lung. It's supposed to be just a lining, and that's what's supposed to be there. So fluid don't belong there, and air don't belong there, believe it or not. Risk factors, smoking, lung disease, hospitalizations, and all being on a ventilator. Also, a family history. Certain types of cystic lung diseases can lead to pneumothorax. So some of the complications... reoccurring air leak. And so when they put the chest tube in, it has to drain. Like if you have blood, most of them have blood in their lungs, and that's why you have to drain it. And once it stops, pull it out, and it will seal. And your phone? No, I did not. Shock, cardiac arrest, low blood oxygen, and respiratory failure. So all those. And death. If you do not treat a pneumothorax or a spontaneous pneumothorax or a hemopneumothorax, which is blood in your lung, and that doesn't belong there, they scored. So we're watching the playoffs right now, and the Bruins are getting their asses handed to them again. Sorry, guys. Okay. So let's go. So under the pneumothorax, pneumonia is one of them. TB is, we've gone over that, and it's an extended period of time that you're on antibiotics. And I'm talking 18 months to 36 months, depending on what type you have, how well your body handles the medication. You know that little TB skin test, and they stick that little tiny needle under your skin? That's what a TB test is for. It's for TB. Usually it's close contact. A lot of homeless get TB. It's not really common amongst, you know what I'm saying? And not to mention people with HIV have a higher risk of getting TB. Asthma, basically, it's a lung disorder. Siri, and hopefully you can listen for her. He lost his phone amongst all the chaos. Check the laundry basket. Sorry, guys. Asthma, everyone knows. Kids can be born with asthma. Sometimes childhood asthma goes away. And then sometimes you could get it in adulthood. Children, huh? Like when I was not even a year old, I was in the hospital 3 times.
Hi, everybody.
Because of my asthma. Hi.
Hi.
You're late.
Yeah, well, better late than ever.
I know. Pulmonary fibrosis is the next one. We're going over all the lung conditions.
Oh, yeah. Spontaneous pneumos.
Yeah. Now, I didn't even think about it. For your spontaneous pneumothorax, your chemopneumothorax, all those wonderful words, how long do you normally have to get those treated before it could be, not good?
Pretty quick, because as air or fluid build up in one side of the lungs, it starts pushing on other things in the mediastinum, like the heart. It starts compressing the heart. And it can also create a second pneumothorax on the other side just because of that buildup of pressure. So, yeah, you probably
just... Oh, I didn't know
just...
you can have...
Go ahead.
I didn't know you could have it in both. I just always thought it was always on one side.
Well, normally it is on one side, and most people get it caught because, you know, pleurisy is very painful. So whenever, you know, you have that pneumothorax, it's very painful, and people are they're at the ER right away. So usually they get treated pretty quick before something really, really bad happens. Spontaneous pneumothorax is usually resolved on their own, though. And it's a lot of times associated with a thin male who smokes.
Okay, I didn't know which type of male. I knew it was a male. And I didn't know it was thin men. Okay, I forgot about that part. Okay. Do women or is it mostly men?
Women get them, but not as frequently. I don't know why that is, but women get more what they call pleurisy, where there's irritation between the bag that the lungs are contained in. See, the lungs are actually in a bag called the pleura. Even though the lungs themselves appear to be a bag, well, the lungs are also encapsulated in a bag called the pleura. And if something gets between the pleura and the lung, that can create a pneumothorax, but that also causes pleurisy, which is just pain or even an infection in the pleura. And women get that more often.
My grandmother, my mom's mom, I think she had in the last 5 years of her life. I've had it once. And I got it after I got over pneumonia. I had double pneumonia, and oh my God, I could not. It was painful.
Yeah,
very painful.
A lot of sports players who get hit in the chest frequently can get that too. Even like with a volleyball, or you know, get hit in the chest real hard. You know, it causes that contusion of the chest and the muscles, but it kind of radiates through the lungs and into the pleura of the lungs. But yeah, that happens.
So pulmonary fibrosis, you need to seek attention, medical attention immediately, apparently. You get shortness of breath. What?
Well, yeah, you're getting pulmonary fibrosis. You need medical attention to prevent, you know, things from getting worse, but there's no cure for it. Once you get it, it's pretty much you got it, and you either learn to live with it or you die from it.
Oh, okay. I was wondering about that. I'm like, well, it's got this big exclamation point. And this is from the Mayo Clinic. And I'm like, it's got this big exclamation point. You must get a medical attention immediately. But I'm like, wait a minute. I thought it was don't they usually, or can they do a lung transplant?
Yeah, they can do that. I mean, if you qualify and can find a match and donor. But a lot of time, or they can just do a lobectomy because, you know, you have two lobes on one side and three on the other. So they can remove one of the lobes that might be fibrotic. But the fibrosis of it is basically it's hardening of the tissue. And so the, the bronchioles, they're just solidified, so they don't really make an exchange between your blood and the oxygen. So, but there's no reversing that. There's no reversing that. And it builds up over time. It can be caused by infections. It can be caused by things that you breathe in, like silicosis, asbestosis. It can cause fibrotic changes to your lungs. And so it's not like an emergency. So I don't know what that means. Fibrosis is not an emergency.
I know. That's what I was saying.
It has to be
a big exclamation point.
It has to be treated. So maybe that's what they mean by seek medical attention.
Probably. Like I said, we said, you know, if something's different in your body, you know, don't wait. You know, get checked. And I know a lot of people don't like to go. You know, it's usually, I'll know when I'm dead. Well, that's not a good time to find out. But, you know, you get fatigue, unexplained weight loss, aching muscles and joints, widening and rounding of the tips of the fingers or toes, which is called clubbing, chest discomfort, and loss of appetite. And like you were saying, some of the causes, silica dust, asbestos, hard metal dust, coal dust, grain dust, inhalation, I would hate to have this, inhalation of bird and animal dropping, medications like chemo drugs, heart medications and anti-inflammatory drugs, smoking, genetic factors, radiation therapy, and scleroderma sarcoidosis. So you could get it from those medical conditions. Common sense, if you're working in any of those elements, wear a mask. Usually you'll be fitted for either an N95 or those big respirators, depending on what it is. Avoid smoking and exposure to secondhand smoke. Get vaccinated for respiratory infections and get treated early for underlying lung conditions. And so some of the complications is, unless there's more than this, just let me know, high blood pressure in the lungs. Which is pulmonary
hypertension. Right.
Right-sided heart failure.
Uh-huh.
Respiratory failure. Lung cancer. And formation of blood clots in the lung. Is there anything
and
else?
Just for clarification, right-sided heart failure develops pulmonary edema. Left-sided heart failure develops ankle edema.
Oh,
so
I thought it was the other side.
The right side will fill up because of the way the blood flows, will start filling fluids into your lungs, and the left side will start filling fluid into the rest of the body. It starts at the feet and works its way up.
I thought it was left side of heart failure was lung, like left lung, and the right was the body, so I had it backwards then. Oh, my bad. Okay.
Right.
I had it backwards. I was like, damn, I thought I created something cool. But no, sorry. Okay, another.
Also, one thing, just to throw it out there since you're on this, any unusual shoulder pain, go have it checked because a lot of times lung and heart conditions can refer pain to the shoulder. You have a phrenic nerve, and if that's being irritated, it'll throw some pain to your shoulders. And a lot of times that's the first sign of even a cancer forming in the lungs, the shoulder pain.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, now, see, I have a problem. I have a pinched nerve, and my shoulder. So that's what I was saying. Everything always has issues with everything. That's why you have to do so many different tests and stuff to rule everything out. So bronchiectasis, did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah, bronchiectasis.
Okay. Oh, okay. So some of the symptoms could be shortness of breath, chronic cough, wheezing, coughing up blood. I'm sorry, where else are you going to wheeze but in your chest?
Out your butt?
It says wheezing in the chest. And I'm like, where else are you going to wheeze? I don't know who wrote some of these things.
Well, if you're all let me clarify it. If you're auscultating a person and they're breathing through their nose, you can hear wheezing in the chest. So you have them breathe through your mouth to clarify whether it's coming from the chest or the nose.
Oh, like when they say like wheezing boogers, like the little kids, when that's what it sounds like.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, because
gotcha.
Like moms will put their ear to the chest and say, "Oh yeah, he's got wheezing in the chest." But if you're auscultating a person and they're breathing through their nose and you hear wheezing, it's because they have congestion in the nose. So you have to make sure it's in the chest because you'll think it's in the chest. So you tell them to breathe with their mouth.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It just looks funny to me. I'm like, what the hell? You don't wheeze. I've got patients that I walk into their house and I can hear them wheezing without even using my stethoscope. That's
well, you know, you can also get wheezing from laryngitis or a pharyngitis as well, where it's not totally down into the lungs, into the different fields of the lungs. It's more in just the bronchial, your trachea.
I know, but
yeah,
but I still have to listen. But it's really cool. I'm like, wow, I can hear that at the front door. And then sometimes you could just put your hand on their chest and you can just feel it. I mean, it's with some people, it's really noticeable. Chest pain, coughing up large amounts of thick mucus, unexplained weight loss, fatigue, thickening of the skin under the nails and toes, and that's also known as clubbing, and frequent respiratory infections.
You want to hear something really cool? I mean, it's
what?
Not cool, but this is really cool. If you have a person who you can hear wheezing like that, if you'll have them slowly exhale while they're wheezing, you'll hear the heartbeat.
Oh, okay.
In the wheeze will have a heartbeat. It's weird.
Oh, that reminds me. One of my patients I saw today, when we listened to his heart, I'm not sure what it's called. It's not a click, and I think it's a rub. But if you listen to all of his lungs, you can hear it. When you listen to his stomach to check for his, you know, for the bowel sound, you can hear his heart. And it's this weird little sound, but it's his heart. And it is so weird that you can hear it all over.
It's a brewery.
And you have to sit there and listen. Huh?
Is it a brewery?
A Bruit?
A Bruit?
I thought a Bruit, I thought that was for if you have a port for dialysis.
No, you can hear carotid Bruits, you can hear abdominal Bruits, you can hear Bruits in the renal arteries. It's just a higher pitched pulsation that you're going to hear because it's usually some sort of ischemia going on.
That's what it is. And so, I know when we have patients on dialysis, you have to listen for a Bruit or a Thrill, and it's that swishing, that weird swishing sound. And I've had patients on dialysis where you couldn't hear anything, and they had to go put a new port in because it clogged up.
Yep.
So,
and sometimes in older patients that have aortic stenosis, you're going to hear that murmur down in the abdomen as well sometimes because it's going through the aorta.
Okay.
So that may be it.
Gotcha. So some of the causes of the bronchiectasis, whatever you want to pronounce it, cystic fibrosis, tuberculosis, childhood episodes of pneumonia, alpha 1 antitrypsin deficiency, HIV, allergic aspergillosis. Isn't that right? Aspergillosis?
Yeah, aspergillosis. Yeah, that's a fungus.
Okay.
It's common to certain areas of the United States. Yeah, fungus is among them.
Oh, okay.
You can get that everywhere in your ears.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you don't want it in your lungs. It's bad.
Oh, okay. Lung damage due to breathing in gases and smoke. Yeah, whooping cough.
Hey, I have a question for you, though. Colonel, I have a question.
What?
What's the medical I don't know the answer. That's why I'm asking. Because, you know, when you're doing general family practice, you don't specialize too much. You just know a little bit about everything. You just don't know a lot about any one thing. So what is the medical definition of bronchiectasis, and what is the medical definition of atelectasis? And so I could look those up, but since we're on the show, might as well.
That's a good one. Okay. Definition. Bronchi. And atelectasis? Okay.
Yeah.
Bronchiectasis is a condition in which the airways of the lungs remain permanently damaged and widened during persistent infection, and that causes accumulation of excess mucus and bacteria, resulting in frequent infections and breathing problems. That's the bronchiectasis. And what was the other one you said? Atelectasis?
Yes.
You know, I've always... Oh, how do you spell that?
A-T-E-L.
Oh, there it is. Atelectasis. And so atelectasis is a condition where the lungs collapse partially or completely. Mild cases show no signs and symptoms, but might develop breathing difficulty when it spreads. Let's see. Let me see if the symptoms are about the same. Difficulty breathing, rapid, shallow breathing, chest pain, and coughing. And it's from mucus buildup, infection, bacterial, viral, or fungal infection. And the lungs, it will scar and disrupt the airflow. foreign objects, like if you happen to swallow something, like your medication. A tumor, a blood clot.
Okay, atelectasis is a partially collapsed lung.
Yeah.
Okay, and bronchiectasis, ectasis means widening, and it's damaged and a widened bronchial.
And it's permanently damaged.
Okay.
You know, I always thought it was the same thing. You know what? Because of my new job, the new hospice that I work at, I'm trying to get a folder started of all of the terminal illnesses of all of our patients as I get them. And I go and I'll look on the NIH or one Mayo Clinic, and I'll get a printout. And so I could start looking over all of these different illnesses, because your families want to know. And, you know, just because they could have had it for a long time, they don't always know what causes it. But, you know what I'm saying? It's good to know, you know.
Yep.
But you're right.
And they also want to know prognosis. And so what's going to happen between now and the time this person passes? What do I look for? What are the bad signs?
Yeah, and that's,
you know?
Yep. And I've got one that's got severe COPD. She's an end-stage COPD, and she's air hungry, and it's bad. And it's like, you can't tell the family, give her the pain medication because it'll help relax her lungs to breathe. And, well, she's not in pain, but it's okay because it'll help relax her lungs. And so it's always patient family teaching over all of that, you know. It's like giving scopolamine drops when they have that rattle. And they're like, but they're eye drops. I know they're eye drops, but it still works. It's a lot of that trait, the teaching. So some of the causes of the bronchiectasis, lung damage due to breathing in gases and smoke. and I take it, the gas is like, I don't, it doesn't say what, specify what kind of gas is.
Environmental fumes.
Primary silly, probably environmental. I take it that smoke from fires, chemical fires, environmental fires and things like that. Primary ciliary dyskinesia, and I need to look that up.
I'll tell you what
I don't
that
know
is.
What what is it?
So ciliary, the cilia are little fingers on the inside of your trachea and your bronchioles that remove dust and mucus. It brings it up to the top of your throat so you can cough it out. It keeps your lungs clean. They're little hairs, little fingers, and they're constantly moving. Well, when they get damaged, dyskinesia means they're not moving properly or in sync to remove the mucus. So that's why a smoker will have a chronic cough. They cannot get the mucus up naturally, so they have to cough it up because they already ruined a lot of their cilia from smoking.
So that's why also you have the cilia in your intestines because that moves your waste through your intestines.
Yeah,
and those can get damaged.
Yeah, that's the result of peristalsis, and then, exactly.
But I
and celiac disease has
this.
A lot to do with that, right?
Huh?
Is celiac disease associated with intestinal cilia?
Yes. They become flat. Now, not all of your intestines are flat. Mine has, I have like three or four large places where it's flat. They told me that it can repair itself, but then one GI doctor told me once it gets to a certain point, it can't repair itself. So,
how often do you grow hair out of scar tissue?
I don't know.
Very rarely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you have scar tissue in an area, then those cilia, which are like little hairs, are not going to grow.
And the whole thing is I have to pick and choose what I want to eat. And if I know if I eat a certain thing, I'm just swelling up like a balloon, and I get really sick. So that's why. And they're like they're fighting. They're saying I've got colitis and not celiac. I'm like, that's two different animals. Completely.
So who's on the show today?
Me.
Lorna and Bobby.
Hi, Lorna. Hi, Bobby.
Hi.
All the other slackers are off doing whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I like you and your Daisy Dukes there, Lorna, during that Zoom meeting.
I think I was in my jammies, wasn't I?
Yeah.
No,
well,
you
oh,
were
maybe
in
I'll
some
just...
shorty shorts.
Yeah.
That's all I ever wear.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care how thin I was, which was not very long in my life, I could never wear those short shorts. I just couldn't do it.
I can't wear them on where they come down to my thighs. It irritates the hell out of me.
Hey, I've been doing some some research because you have to use evidence based medicine, and they're coming out for some treatments for leptin receptor deficiencies, which is pretty cool.
For what?
Leptin receptor deficiencies.
Did we go over that before?
Yeah, it has to do with obesity.
Oh yeah, we did, and it was a while ago. I know
it
I need some more ideas because I was telling Bobby, I'm like, damn, I finally found my schedule book. But see, like, we don't cover all of the items. And so I'm like, well, shit, I forgot what we went over. And I need to start writing them down again.
Yeah, weight loss is big. You know, there's unhealthy overweight, and then there is an overweight that's not considered as unhealthy. If you look at a person's shape and they have thin legs, a thin torso, but an egg-shaped abdomen, that's a very unhealthy weight. But if their weight is distributed equally all the way through, even though they might be a big person, that's more healthy than that egg-shaped person. You know,
well,
then
I'm a healthy big butt.
You're healthy.
Because I'm carrying my weight proportionally.
Yes, exactly.
I was just going to say, when I tell people what I weigh, they're like, there's no freaking way I weigh what I weigh. And I'm like, yep, sorry, but I do.
Yeah.
And I noticed that people could be bigger than me, a lot larger, are actually 50 and 60 pounds lighter than me, but they're fatter than me. I don't know. You know, I give up on trying to figure it out.
Well, it's the distribution of the adipose tissue. If it's equally distributed, that's a lot better than if it's just distributed in certain locations. And so that usually gives them the egg shape, and that tells you their weight, overweightness, I guess, their obesity is a result of their own doing versus a person who has equal obesity, and it's due to either a genetic issue, a leptin issue, or the leptin receptor issue. So, and so a lot of times that's genetic or a mutation. Usually those people will get really, really – those are the super obese people that no matter what they do, they cannot lose the weight. And that's usually a genetic it's a genetic flaw in the leptin receptor. And so they're coming out with new treatments for that. And I think that's really cool for a lot of people. I really think that bariatric surgery is just brutal.
Yeah.
That's the one where they band your belly?
They can band your belly, or they can just bypass your stomach and just connect the tube to your esophagus. They can put a tube or ligation, they call them. So there's a lot of different possibilities for that, but it's still brutal. And a lot of times those patients start ending up with a lot of vitamin deficiencies because their absorption goes to shit. Because a lot of vitamins are absorbed in the stomach.
Sometimes they'll make a pouch the size of an egg, and I get you've got to make it smaller so you don't eat as much. But like you said, you're not going to absorb any nutrients. You can end up with malnutrition and.
Yep.
And when you get to people like myself,
and you're going to be really sick. And you're going to have rapid weight loss, and then your skin's not going to catch up with you, and you're going to start getting infections of the skin, and you're going to start having medical problems because of that. Then you're going to have another surgery for the paniculectomy to remove all that excess skin. It's just brutal, man. But if it's medically necessary, that's one thing. I can understand that. But a lot of people do it electively, and before you know it, they're right back onto their old eating habits, and eventually they'll become obese again.
And that's why you have to treat the mentality of why they became obese in the first place. Because if you don't fix it, you're going to go right back to the way you were.
Right. That's true. They have this one treatment that I've seen that I kind of like this one, is where they put this balloon in your stomach, and they have it like where it's like partially inflated, where you have the feeling of being full, or you get full faster so you don't eat as much. Every person that I have on a weight loss program, I also put them on an anti-anxiety, depression medication like Prozac, so they don't have that compulsive. They want to eat. People will get nervous and put a pencil in their mouth or bite their fingernails. It's primitive. You get nervous or scared, you want to eat because you want to get energy in case you have to run away.
And the comfort foods, same thing.
Yeah,
but see, I've taken Prozac, and that was the first antidepressant I was ever on. And it did have the benefits of weight loss, but I thought I was going to just snap and kill the first person that pissed me off.
Yep.
So I could not. My mom can't take it.
There's a newer version that, you know, that's one of the older SSRIs, but there's a newer version of it, and I can't think of the name right now. I'm like beat, but there's a newer version that people don't have the same amount of side effects, and it still does it does reduce the compulsive nature of people sometimes. And the other way I treat them is I'll treat them with phentermine, which is amphetamine. It's speed, and it also is an appetite suppressant. So I'll reduce their appetite, I'll reduce their compulsive nature, and then I'll give them that energy with the speed to go exercise. No one does it. They like the energy, but they don't exercise.
The my kid's dad was put on the phentermine. There was two pills that they were giving for the weight loss.
Not sure. Yeah, I do two pills. Yeah, I do two pills, and sometimes I'll add an HCG injection to it. You know, HCG, the human growth chorionic hormone or whatever, the one that tells women that they're pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the body gets that hormone in their system, they think that they're pregnant, so it starts burning up some of the fat reserves.
Oh, never mind. I thought I found it, but you said there's two forms of Prozac?
No, there's a newer SSRI, which is a second generation of the Prozac.
Oh, okay.
Remind me of the generic name for Prozac. I can't think of it at the moment.
Fluoxetine.
This one is something oxetine also, but I think it might be Celexa. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I took Celexa. Hold on a second. Rexulti.
Okay, no, it's another one. Oh, man. It's an oxetine. I just don't remember. It's not fluoxetine. It's some other oxetine. But that one, it has a little less side effect profile. But Celexa is also good if you tolerate it well. Any sort of antidepressant.
So the second generation antidepressant, well, they're bupropion, citalopram, which is Celexa, Prestix, Cymbalta. Those are all the second generation. I mean, that's just it. I've taken so many different antidepressants, and some work better than others, but I feel fine now without it, but they can't figure out why I've gained weight. It's not my diet. I've cut out. I mean, I do have a little bit of sweet here and there. I mean, I can't cut out completely, but about 80% of my sweets I've cut out. Pretty much all junk food I've cut it out. No pastas. Hardly ever eat any type of bread product. Pretty much all fried foods are gone, and I still cannot lose weight. And the original weight gain was part of my medications, and I just can't get rid of it. And I got like 60 pounds to lose. And I don't know what else to do.
Join the Army.
So, yeah, I already did that. It broke me the first time.
They kicked me out for being overweight. They kicked me out for being overweight.
They looked at me, and they're like, I would fail height and weight. Every time. I always had to be taped. And here's what's funny. I failed height and weight, and I was a size 8, and I weighed 180 pounds. And they're like, there's no freaking way you weigh 180 pounds and you're a size 8. I said, look at me. I'm equally distributed between my neck and my legs. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I carry most of my weight in my legs and my thighs and, you know, the trunk. And sorry, but and they couldn't figure it out. And so it sucks because I always had to get taped.
It's called paroxetine Paxil.
Oh, paroxetine? Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm almost afraid to go on it.
Well, no, that's between you and your doctor, ma'am. So.
Oh, no, it's because of how the Prozac part. It's just, I'm like,
Well, yeah, Prozac was fluoxetine, and Paxil is the paroxetine. But it's a different molecule, so I think it has less side effects.
Paxil.
Yeah.
I've taken Paxil pretty well, and I didn't have any problems.
Bupropion is a good possibility. It's Wellbutrin also. They use that for also smoking cessation.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Yep. Yeah, so that helps with the compulsive wants, I guess, for the cigarette smoke. But, yeah, that's what they use for cigarette smoking. It's the Buspiron or Bupropion, but it's called Wellbutrin. It's like the
brand
name.
They had me on that.
Yeah.
I think they were saying the Buspiron was what was causing some of my weight gain, and that's why they kicked me off.
Well, when people quit smoking, they start eating.
Yeah, but I don't smoke.
Well, it's hard to tell. And the other thing that we're using a lot now, especially with our diabetics, and the doctor that I work for is also prescribing for non-diabetics who have maybe insulin resistant, but for obesity, is Ozempic and Trulicity. They are both, Ozempic is known to have 14% weight loss associated with it.
Yeah.
So some doctors are actually starting to prescribe once weekly Ozempic and as part of a weight loss program, if you can tolerate a shot.
And Trulicity. I had
and
a Trulicity. Patient who swapped over to Trulicity.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one problem. Trulicity costs $1,500 a month for 4 shots.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, it's actually come down a lot, and you can actually get manufacturer's coupons. Yeah, you can get manufacturer's coupons now. Most insurance carriers are carrying it now. But
yeah,
I don't mind.
And I know, but isn't there one of them that can cause
both of them can cause
your pancreas?
With your thyroid. Yeah, Yeah, both of them are contraindicated if you have a family history of medullary thyroid cancer. And if you have a thyroid problem, most doctors will not prescribe it. Even though it's not contraindicated, it messes with people's thyroids.
My mom has an underactive thyroid. My aunt, her sister, had an underactive thyroid. Their mother had an overactive thyroid, and the other sister had an overactive thyroid. Out of 4
so you had,
kids, one
had a couple thin,
had a
you had a couple
thyroid.
Thin, and you had a couple thick.
Yeah, we got thick and thin. And
yeah,
my mom
I think
and
overactive
my aunt,
is a lot more dangerous. Yeah, overactive thyroid is very dangerous. It's very dangerous.
I don't know.
Yeah, hyperthyroid. It's very dangerous.
You can have
thyroid toxicosis.
Well, we have a few more minutes. For some, like my son-in-law, my oldest daughter's husband, that man can eat and eat and eat and eat like a damn horse, and he's like thin, but he's also 6'4". And could that ever at any point slow down and stop?
Yeah, the metabolism, as he starts aging, metabolism will slow down, and he'll start actually gaining weight if he continues to eat like that without exercise and activity. And or if he has a hyperactive thyroid, that can also cause that.
Because I know once upon a time, it's been a while, he can't have any spices. He has little to no stomach lining.
Yeah, so he eats and he shits. Sorry to say that, but
he probably has
frequent stools. What can he do?
Yeah,
he can
help that.
He can stop.
So
he can absorb better.
Yeah.
Well, you can stop the cocaine. That'll help. Number two, a lot of times the high billion probiotics can also help.
Oh, okay. He had to quit drinking.
So, he has a lot of damage done to the intestinal mucosa from alcohol. It also affects the esophagus.
He was also homeless for a long time. He was homeless for a few years, and he
okay.
just ate whatever he could. Yeah, and there was a lot of issues as to, and he was an alcoholic, and then he quit that like 5 years ago. But still,
mm-hmm. yeah, alcoholism causes a lot of dysmotility, where a lot of people they'll develop like what they think is irritable bowel syndrome, and it's actually an alcohol-induced phenomena where they'll eat and then they'll defecate. They'll eat and they'll defecate.
Yeah.
So they're not even having enough time to absorb the nutrients from the food.
And that happens also when you have your gallbladder removed?
It actually slows down the transit time of the foods through the intestines, so you actually can have an increased absorption with the gallbladder. If you start developing diarrhea, that means the loose stuff is getting around the slower tracking stuff. Imagine a kitchen sink where you're always dumping grease down it, and that grease will build up around the edges of the sink. You know, a little white buildup of grease around your pipes. That's what happens when you lose your gallbladder and you eat greasy foods a lot, because the gallbladder reduces bile, which is a emulsifier. It breaks down fat. And without having enough bile, because the bag is just a storage place. The gallbladder is just a storage, so you have plenty of bile when you need it to break down the fats in your diet. When you don't have that enough bile, it doesn't break down all the fat, and a lot of that fat will adhere to your intestinal lining, and it will cause slow transit. It'll cause bloating. It'll cause constipation, abdominal pain.
Well, crap. That's got to be what's wrong with me then.
Yeah. Well, you probably have a lot of fat. You probably have a lot of fat buildup in your intestinal tract, which is preventing a lot of the stuff from transiting very quickly. But the looser stuff can get around easily, obviously, you know.
So what's a good way to get rid of it? Like cleanser?
A no-fat diet for one. No-fat diet for one. They do have a bile acid sequestrant that you can take as a supplement. And also using fiber to try to clean out. Use fiber. Imagine it's a Brillo pad, and your body doesn't really digest fiber. So that Brillo pad is scraping the walls of your intestine as it makes the transit through. So having a regular...
Corn?
Well, even Metamucil if you're that bad, you know. But
no, seriously, that's what I'm wondering, if my wife got so much... in my abdomen, that's bloated lately. It's like, it's unreal.
If you want to lose weight and you want to, you know, a decent, you've got to have a little bit of fat in your diet, go on a Mediterranean diet. Give it a try.
We got 90 seconds.
All right. I'll try that.
We got 90 seconds.
Yep. Go ahead, Bobby.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for being here. Good, Phil.
I'm smoking a cigarette since we're talking about pulmonary shit.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. Another great show, Kim. Thank you. God bless America.
Oh, no problem.
God bless our children, our veterans, our military, first responders, the missing, and God bless the Defender 7. Good night, everybody.
Good night, you all.
Good night.